Greetings in the holy name of Jesus. This is the Words of Life program. Each week, we present a gospel broadcast that is prayerfully sponsored by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers. Today, our speaker, Brother David Johnson, will speak of the scene in the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus prayed on the night he was betrayed, that was also on the eve of his crucifixion. One of the words used by Jesus at this time was overwhelmed, and that is the topic for Brother Johnson's sermon today. We now present singing in honor of our Lord. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we honor you with our hearts and words. Thank you for loving us and for the life found in Jesus. Use the words of this program for your glory. Be with each one who is upholding your name, especially the persecuted Christians. Among our listeners, there are people who are ill or troubled. Please give them your healing and peace, and bless them also in their spiritual needs. In closing, we ask that we will be found ready for the promised return of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Now, Brother David Johnson will present a sermon entitled, Overwhelmed.
It's good to be together again as we look into the Word of God. The title for the lesson is, Overwhelmed. And our text is from the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 36 through 46. Please listen to the Word of God. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." This is the word of God. We were recently in the holiday season, in which many of us could become easily overwhelmed, such as travel to visit family in different and difficult winter-type weather, or incoming family and friends for special meals requiring more work and more expense. Add to that the shopping hassles of the holiday season. For example, I normally at least know what to look for as appropriate gifts. However, I recently asked my grown sons to write down 2 or 3 gifts they wanted in a certain price range, of which I would buy, wrap, and put under the tree. One from their choices. Thereby, they would be surprised not knowing which one I bought of their 2 or 3 choices. I thought I was being rather clever with this, but when I got to the store, the hassles began to mount. First, I had no clue what the gadgets, I'll call them, were. I recognized a few of the English words, but putting them together did not compute. I long again for the good old days, when buying boys' presents amounts to a Daisy brand air gun or Power Ranger accessories. I need grandsons, but I'll take granddaughters. Secondly, these mysterious gadgets, I'll call them, were sold out. Very frustrating. How can something that doesn't compute be so popular? The holiday season, with often increased travel, food, shopping, and expense, can be overwhelming. For many, the holidays can also be a time when depression, or at least emotional swings, can be, well, overwhelming if we're not careful. The holidays are supposed to be a time of heightened happiness, full of jolly and folly. But sad memories or bad things still happen without regard to the calendar. We sometimes need support to help us through. And basketball, football, parades, and movies are just not enough. Consider this. Scattered along hundreds of miles in the United States, in the Northern California coastline, in these valleys stand some of God's majestic skyscrapers. I'm referring to redwood trees. Adult redwood trees typically grow 200 to 300 feet high, with tree trunks 8 to 12 feet wide. Spectacular trees. Placed side by side with London, England's Big Ben Clock Tower, it would be dwarfed by California's tallest redwood, over a whopping 377 feet high. That's more than 125 yards. Imagine a football field. However, these towering giants have a strange characteristic. They have an unusually shallow root system that reaches out in all directions to capture the most amount of surface moisture. Seldom is a redwood tree standing alone, because high winds would uproot it. Instead, redwoods thrive side by side in groups. Their intertwining root systems provide mutual support for each other. So as a group, having protection from damaging windstorms. Similarly, we human beings need a support system to keep us from sometimes potential emotional uprooting. The storms of life can be devastating without regard to holidays or anything else. Standing together with biological family and caring friends can help sustain and support us. Moreover, as believers, as Christians, we have a bonus. God Himself, certainly, and other believers with intertwining faith who can help, can encourage, and be praying for us. Even Jesus Christ, in His humanity, at His lowest point emotionally, reached out for support for Himself, for He was overwhelmed, by His own words. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 36, it says in part, Jesus went with His disciples to a place called Gethsemane. Gethsemane means oil press. It was a place where the oil was squeezed out of olives. Gethsemane was an olive tree orchard or garden on the lower slopes of the Mount of Olives. This was Jesus' favorite place to go to pray, to gather His strength, for He was in the shadow of the cross, and He knew it. It was weighing heavily on His heart and mind. Jesus emotionally felt squeezed, pressed, stressed. This was His agony before His assassination, to which He offered Himself voluntarily. In our lives, we've all had or will have agonies. Times when our emotions are raw. Experiences when we feel squeezed, pressed from all sides, even overwhelmed. Consider verse 37. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with Him, and He began to be sorrowful and troubled. Notice that even Jesus, in His humanity, needed other believers, especially close friends, close disciples, Peter, James, and John, to be near. Jesus desired their support. Verse 38, Then He said to them, My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with Me. Overwhelmed with sorrow carries the original Greek language meaning of surrounded by sorrow. Jesus felt so deeply grieved that He stated to the point of death. It is possible to die from the effects of deep sorrow. just as from other strong emotions, such as fright or anger, the effects of these strong emotions. Jesus' overwhelming sorrow was not just knowing that he was going to suffer physically and emotionally. That was bad enough. He was especially agonizing about knowing in advance that his Father was going to forsake him, Matthew chapter 27 and verse 46, for that terrible, dark time when God would pour out his wrath on his Son as our sin-bearer, taking the sin of the world upon himself. That was his mission. He knew why he came to this earth. This forsaking of his Father would be the only time in all eternity that perfect unity, perfect fellowship with his Father would come to pass. Jesus endured this monumental agony for you and for me, for the entire world, taking upon himself the cumulative sin of the human race. The one and only unique Son of God was going to be raised up and nailed to a tree as a sin offering, even though he himself never sinned. That's love. That's obedience, perfect obedience to his Father. Verse 40, then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Could you men not watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Jesus' inner circle, Peter, James, and John, on that overwhelming night, let him down. Jesus had no human support, no encouragement when he really needed it, when he sought it. Many today do not have a reliable support system, neither biological family nor close friends, and no church family for encouragement or prayer support. Sometimes even Christians don't reach out to others as we should. We need not suffer alone. Like a solitary redwood, many trying to go it alone topple, feel their lives uprooted. Jesus still had his Father, and so do all Christians. We can beseech him. We can seek our Father for strength, for needed comfort. But we usually also need, as a teenager once shared with me, I need someone with skin on, someone I can touch, someone to hold me, to hug me. As Christians, we should all support one another, strive to pray for and with one another, to help, to encourage, and to comfort. We should reach out and touch any life that is hurting. And we who are hurting need to let others help us through before we can become overwhelmed. It should be comforting to us as believers that Jesus stated in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, that says in part, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus is always awake, never has to sleep, is always a prayer thought or supplication away. And we even have the indwelling Holy Spirit within us, working in our hearts and minds to guide us as the great comforter and our great teacher and helper. In the Hebrews epistle, we find a curious statement connected to our main text, Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 46. Consider Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. It says, although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. We should understand that Jesus Christ as deity, as divine, as the Son of God, fully understood obedience. However, in Jesus' humanity, he humbled himself to learn obedience, although sorely tempted, Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39, it says in part, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Jesus obediently and voluntarily drank his cup of suffering totally, once and for all. For it was his Father's will. There was no other way. Because the Son of God became one of us in his incarnation as he became flesh and blood, he can relate to our suffering. And because Jesus obeyed perfectly, even under tremendous agony, he can help us to persevere no matter how difficult our overwhelming circumstances become. Years ago, I met a man who was a fast-track achiever, an aggressive, talented school principal. He was also, at the time, an atheist, very proud and independent. However, he had to take early retirement later on due to contracting a crippling disease. Often, he could not even get out of bed by himself. God allowed him to be knocked down, overwhelmed physically, mentally, and emotionally. After meeting caring Christians in his native Russia, over time, this man learned obedience from what he suffered. Instead of remaining bitter, he became a believer in Jesus Christ, who set him free on the inside, in his heart, mind, and will. Today, he is, in a positive way, overwhelmed by God in Christ, as a daily Bible reader, as a regular worshiper, who more importantly lives out the Scriptures in his life. Yes, God often does work in mysterious ways. May we all be overwhelmed by the grace and love of God. Summed up beautifully in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That indeed is overwhelming.
Oh.
The sermon that we have just heard shows how much we are loved by Jesus. We can be thankful for this. God's Word teaches that we are to be Christians, basing our lives on our Lord. If you are not yet a Christian, we encourage you to make that important decision today. If we can help you in spiritual matters, please contact us at the addresses that will soon be given. To receive a free CD of this and next week's program, ask for broadcast 1907. That's 1907. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. That's Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wolradio@att.net. That's wolradio@att.net. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs, thanking you for listening. Please plan now to tune in again next week at this same time and station for another program from Words of Life.